If you have been glad that God has led you to this space this morning, would you just thank Him for that leading of you? That's just a praise to Him and a thankfulness, I pray, that already you have, without question, tasted something of the presence of the living God who created everything that we see, and that He has already spoken to you in a particular way that has blessed your heart and encouraged you and strengthened you and reminded you of something that you hadn't thought about recently, and you needed to hear that again. I could say this most Sundays, and verily would, but you picked a good Sunday to come to church. You picked a very good day. One of the reasons is going to be walking forward right now, and her name's Miss Everly Dean. So Brian, Tamara, John, Karen, David, and Sabina, please come forward. Brian and Tamara recognize that little precious gift that Tamara is holding, named Miss Everly, is a gift of God to them. And because Miss Everly is a gift, Brian and Tamara, are coming today to just recognize that in the midst of your friendship and our time together. So they come today affirming what their heart content, their heart is committed to. We've also invited John and Karen and David and Sabina. John and Karen are Tamara's folks. David and Sabina are Brian's folks. So we're blessed to have you guys with us today. This is very much in line with Jesus. One of the times Jesus got irritated is when he saw that his disciples were prohibiting children from coming to him. And he said, "Stop it. Let the children come to me." And if there's anything that's true about Jesus, that is that he welcomes children into his presence. And Everly is welcomed into his presence through the life and the pattern and the love that Brian and Tamara and her family and us are going to be able to give to her. So, Brian and Tamara, I'm just going to ask you to affirm publicly what I know is in your heart and what we've seen for Miss Everly. So, Brian and Tamara, do you recognize your responsibility before God, the impact of your home life, the impact of your personal example, and that Everly really will learn to walk with God and pray as she watches you? If so, please say, "We do."
We do.
Amen. So therefore, Brian and Tamara, do you promise to pray for Everly? And will you be responsible for seeing that Everly is brought up in the training and the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And will you, by your prayers and your witness, help Everly grow into the full stature of Christ? Amen. So Karen and John and David and Sabina, it's no coincidence, it's no accident, that Everly is under your care and oversight too. And your love, your example is going to be, already has been, and will be strongly significant in God's purposes for Everly. So I would like you to respond specifically to this as well. Will you, by your prayers and witness, commit to helping Everly grow into the full stature of Christ? And if so, please say, "We will." Brian and Tamara are friends of ours here. We have walked together for the better part of 8 years at this point, and they recognize and they understand that this is not a Lone Ranger responsibility. Everly is going to be much bigger than Brian and Tamara can handle. The Lord already knows that. They know that. So God has called us to walk with them. And so would you please stand? I'm going to ask you to also express your commitment to Brian and Tamara and to Everly. And as you know, we don't want this to be weak. Your confession, your statement, we want it to be consistent with your heart and your love for Brian and Tamara and Everly. So when I say, please say, "We will," let it be from the depths of your being. And the true expression of the deepest part of your heart out of love for Brian and Tamara and Everly. So, to the family of Christ Community Church, friends of Brian and Tamara and Everly, will you, by your prayers and your witness, will you help Everly grow into the full stature of Christ? If so, please say, we will.
We will.
Amen. Good job. Well done. Well, I get to pray for Miss Everly. Okay. See how she does. Keep her in sight here. All right. Would you please join me as we pray, and I lead us in prayer for Miss Everly. Father, what a precious gift you have given to us, to Brian and Tamara. Father, we are astounded at your goodness, and we praise you foreverly. Father, we ask specifically that early in her life, that she would come to know your great love and purposes for her. That early on in her understanding, she would begin to grasp your love and care for her. And Father, we thank you for Brian and Tamara and for the gift that they are to Everly and to us. And would you please encourage them, strengthen them, guide them in this very sacred endeavor, adventure of guiding and loving, leading Miss Everly. But Father, I specifically pray that you would give Everly a spirit of wisdom, that you would help her overflow with wisdom, that she would run hard after you, that she would have a deep trust in you in the face of mystery, in the face of trouble, in the face of many questions. We pray for an ability to trust you. Father, we pray for hope. We pray that hope would guard her heart and her mind in Christ Jesus, that she would know hope even in the midst of some of the most dire circumstances of her life, that her eyes and her heart and her mind would be turned to you and she would have hope. But Father, as Paul said, the greatest of all of these is love. And would you please fill Everly with your love, and may she know your love without question, and may she be a shining light and vessel of your love to her generation and to those that she will walk with. So we commend her to you, to the word of your grace. We commend Brian and Tamara to you, to the word of your grace. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's just take this moment. Yes. Yeah. Well, we're in home group together, so I get to do this fairly frequently. So, and I also know why she's going to be a handful. So, a wonderful handful. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
You,
yeah. Yeah. See you. Just a couple things before we continue looking at God's Word and what He might have to say to us today. Kristen Musselman is in the house, and we need to say congratulations on your graduation. We've been trying to do this most every week, and you were able to be here just 2 weeks ago, right? UVA. So wonderful. She pray for Kristen. She's headed to Calcutta in September, that kind of time frame. So for the International Justice Mission. So very excited about what God has for her plans. So anybody else that we have missed on graduations, I think that's it. So it's good to see you, Kristen, and congratulations very much. So as I began to think about our time in God's Word today, it occurred to me that God, I think, wants Everly's dedication and what just happened to be his setup. He wants that sacred ceremony that we just walked through to evoke something deep in your heart and in my heart. And it's this. Brian and Tamara understand that God has graced them with Everly, a gift. They stood before us as friends, committing to be intentional about passing on to Everly what they have found so important and so significant and meaningful in their walk with God. Their love of Jesus and what they've experienced from Him, they want to be intentional about passing that on to Everly. They stood in front of us and committed to that. We stood and committed to helping them do that, walking with them. That evokes something very godly, something very deep in you and me, something that God designed in us with our basic DNA, both physically and spiritually, and it's this. When we come into relationship with Him, with the God of all creation, that's the gospel, that's the good news, that we can know the God of all creation through Jesus. When we come into relationship with Him, that should evoke something in us. I'm not keeping this to myself. This is too good to hoard. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves, what some lepers said in the book of Kings. And it's ludicrous to know the God of all creation, to be in relationship with Him, to sense His love, and then to not have this sense. Something's broken when we don't want to pass it on. That's why Jesus said to us, make disciples as followers of Him. If you know Jesus, He said, be intentional. Make disciples. Make followers. Be intentional about impacting those people that you love with this gospel, with this good news. Do it. Be intentional. Don't mess. Don't miss this opportunity. Paul, the Apostle Paul said the same thing to his friends in the church in Corinth. He said, as I follow Christ, follow me. As you've seen something in me, you follow through too with this. And he also said to Timothy, his young son in the faith, Timothy, the things that you've seen and heard in me, pass on to others who will be able to teach others also. It's through the Scriptures, this intentionality of passing on what God has done in us and this great blessing of knowing Him and His love and His power and His wisdom. And that's what prompted in my heart this series for you. I am realizing I'll be 59 next birthday. I know you're surprised. I see the surprise on your face already saying there's some gasps, but I know. Yes, it's true. 59 is around the corner. Well, that's prompting some very healthy things in me. I was at a house of mourning, which Ecclesiastes says is a very good place to be. It was a church where we were mourning the death of a friend of mine, months older than me. I was speaking with him last September. And little did either of us think that by this coming March, he would be in the very presence of Jesus. Didn't think about that. 59 years old. That impacted me. So yeah, this is having an impact on me, but rest assured, I'm still keeping my shirt buttoned all the way to the top. I'm not wearing any bling. I'm not buying a Harley yet, or a little red European sports car, like some have done. but I long for you. If you're relatively new, Jeff Howard just bought a while ago a little red European sports car. So. Said his wife. All right. I am painfully aware of that when I hear of his triathlon times. So anyway, we digress. Thank you, Shelley. But what was in my heart for this whole series is to intentionally pass on to you some habits, some practices that God has worked in me for the better part of these 20 years. And these habits and these practices have just been a huge blessing to me. And I wanted to share those with you. They're in my journal, these pages that we're basically just walking through my prayer journal. And it's my prayer that as you live and breathe and as you get up in the mornings, some of your first thoughts as you just go out the door and it's not owners, you'll just be reminded of who God is. That some of your first thoughts will be your best thoughts about who God is and how big He is. I was so encouraged. Karis, I'm trying to pass this on in our home too. She texted me this past week. She's doing this and she just said, thank you. I needed to remember God is the lifter of my head. And that was a few days ago in some of the things that we're walking through. God is the one who lifts our head when it gets down. So God is who lifts our. I pray that as you leave your home in the morning and you go about your day, you'll be reminded that you're not empty. You are filled with the Spirit of God. And that the Spirit of God is just ready to pour out of you by the characteristics of His fruit. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control and gentleness. Those things will just flow from you and you know that you're not empty. You can flow with that. That you leave your home and you're thinking, I'm not going out into this war zone unprotected. I'm putting on the armor of God. That's something that is just as you breathe, you think about putting on the armor. Maybe even as you get dressed, you think about putting on truth and righteousness and trust and peace and salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And you know the word, and that just is part of how you go into your day. Again, maybe you don't even sit down and necessarily think about it and open your Bible, but these realities help you start your day. And they help you be intentional about passing these on to your children, to your friends, to the people that God has put in your sphere of influence, that you're intentional about this. You want it. It's one of your great, as we sang this morning, it's your great obsession to pass on who Jesus is to those you love and care about. It's your magnificent obsession in life. Great song to sing this morning. So this morning we're focusing on wisdom. Wisdom. All of these are biggies. None of these are like minor in God's economy. The greatest thing is love. God is our best thought. The Spirit of God is something that Jesus said, it's better that I actually go so the Spirit of God can show up in your life. It's an amazing thing to think about. And wisdom. Wisdom is a biggie. That we would know the wisdom of God and that we would pass on the wisdom of God. So we're going to take some time. If you have your notes, turn your notes over. The scripture is on the other side that we're going to walk through, just going to read through briefly. And would you please stand again? Get a little blood moving. If you could stand again. We're going to read James 3, verses 13 through 18 first. Bob read it, this passage of Scripture, in the New International Version translation of the Bible. This is what's called the Message Version. It was precipitated by a wonderful pastor named Eugene Peterson. He got a lot of help on it from some biblical scholars. But this is from the Message. Proverbs, Luke, and Ephesians, those are all from the NIV translation as well. Before we read wisdom, this description of wisdom, it's very important for you and I to remember two things about wisdom. Wisdom is not necessarily knowledge. We can't equate wisdom with knowledge. Wisdom is something different sometimes than knowledge. Wisdom is more of a skill. Wisdom is an ability in life to make wise choices because you know God. And His wisdom, His way, His mind shapes your choices. That's wisdom. You may not be the most intellectual, brightest person on this planet, but you can still be a very wise person because of the choices you make. The other thing about wisdom, it's not knowledge. The other thing about wisdom is it's not focused and it's not honed in isolation. Wisdom calls us to community. It's relationship that hones wisdom in us. Wisdom is not grown in us as we live isolated just among ourselves or alone. So wisdom calls us to live in community with friendship. It's one of the reasons Jeff spoke on his passage on community. All right. So James 3, verses 13 through 18, and then Proverbs. Let's read this together. Read it aloud. We'll read it together. Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you're wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. In Proverbs 4:7, let's read this together. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. And then the example, the model of Jesus. And Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. And then Ephesians 1:17 is a part of the prayer of Paul for the followers of Jesus in Ephesus. And he prays this. Let's read this together. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You may be seated. So that's why I long for us to leave our mornings, to begin our days with this sense that I am filled with wisdom. God, please saturate not only my work, but my relationships this day, my marriage, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my parents, with my colleagues, with my friends, with my neighbors. God, would you please saturate my day, my words, with your wisdom? Please do that. Well, James lays this out, what wisdom looks like. So first of all, James says it's pure. That means it's morally and spiritually untainted. Now, keep in mind, this is a direction. This is where the wisdom of God in your life and my life trends. It doesn't mean that we are perfectly pure and live out that purity every moment, every second of the day. You know that as well as I do. When we trend from purity, when that thought pops in our head, we recognize it. That's not pure. And we trend back to purity and we confess that and we say, God, get my thoughts and my motives back to purity. The wisdom of God is pure. It trends toward purity. The wisdom of God is peace-loving. It means that it promotes shalom. And that is an important word to keep in mind. When we think about peace, we need to keep in mind the true idea, the Hebrew word shalom. It means completeness. It means wholeness. It means bringing together in the intended purposes, for the intended purposes of God, even when things are broken. Jesus was a man who went after peace. He was peace-loving, and yet at one point, he turned over tables because there was not a completeness and a wholeness to what was going on in the temple that day, and he needed to bring about a restoration of prayer for all nations to that place, and it was getting compromised. So as an act of peace, Jesus turned over tables in anger. So that's why we need to keep shalom, peace, firm in our minds about what does it mean to be peace-loving. Because some of us, like me, can be peace-loving in a false sort of way. That we'll just have calm at any cost. And that's not necessarily peace-loving. Sometimes that's just cowardice. Because we're too afraid to deal with some of the issues that are broken in our lives. And God says, no, that's not peace-loving. Cowardice and avoidance is not peace-loving. Blaming is not peace-loving. Peace-loving is promoting peace, shalom. It's owning our stuff. It's not blaming. It is sometimes turning tables over. The wisdom of God is considerate. It means it listens to reason. It's gentle. It's able to submit to disgrace without malice. It's one of the definitions I found that I loved, I thought was very important. To consider it means willing to listen to reason. A wise person listens. A wise person remembers we have two ears and one mouth on purpose. by God's design. We're actually, I think, called to listen twice as much as we should be speaking. So when our first intention and our first impulse is to speak and to pass on important knowledge and judgment, and our first impression is to speak, sometimes a wise person all of a sudden feels this pullback. A wise person sometimes will sense, whoa, 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 I need to stop talking. I need to listen. And I need to listen not only to the words that are coming, but a wise person says, I need to listen to the heart behind the words. Wise person is considerate, listens to reason, is gentle. That's all wrapped up in this wonderful word, considerate. Is able to submit to disgrace without malice. Wisdom from above is submissive. It means literally well persuaded. Another way to put that would be easily persuaded. When a wise person gets in an argument or discussion and there's this sense of moving ahead and I need to control and I need to be strong and I need to dictate, then all of a sudden we realize a wise person sometimes is called to, hears the voice of the Spirit of God, whoa, settle down. You need to figure out how to live well in this situation. You need to understand what it means to be willing to yield. Is another way of speaking about what it means to be submissive. Heavenly wisdom is willing to yield. That's why submissive is a good translation of this word, well persuaded. That means we're able to live under the authorities that we have in our life. We can live well under the authorities that God has put us in. The wisdom from God is submissive. The wisdom from above is full of mercy. The word full literally means to be controlled by, to be overflowing with, to be marked by mercy. Mercy. Mercy is that wonderful attribute of God where He withholds something that He could well give to us. It's one way to look at it. That His judgment is withheld because of His mercy. And He does not give us what we deserve in His mercy. He gives us what we don't deserve. Some people think about that as grace. Mercy and grace, cousins, wonderful cousins. But wisdom, the wise person, is controlled, marked, saturated with mercy. I can stand up here and I can say that. Say in a way that I hope you understand. I get behind the wheel of my car, not so merciful, not so willing to yield. There's something in me. Last week I confessed, by the way, I did have a better, last week I confessed about a not so good ride to church last Sunday morning. As I'm coming to speak about love, somebody comes up on my tail last Sunday morning, and the last thing I'm thinking about is loving this person. And by the way, Amy, it wasn't you. Kevin was, or Amy was wondering because they were late for, and they got, no, it was somebody else. Brian was wondering, that's right. It wasn't Amy. Somebody, but something welled up in front of me. And have you been in those situations where you merge? There's like two lines, and do you get on the other guy's tail so the other person can't merge? Are you willing to yield and let that person get into the line? I'm working at that. Cindy is intrigued, but how different I am behind the wheel than I am speaking in front of you often. It's merciful, marked by mercy. Gio Gonzalez, the pitcher who pitched yesterday for the Nationals. Yes, we got baseball into the message one more time. Gio, a pitcher, gets hit not once, but twice by the same pitcher, gets hit. And I love Gio's response. I just thought, there's mercy. He was smiling. He was talking to Votto, the first baseman. There was mercy. He didn't respond to the pitcher like he could have. Both of those pitches hurt big time. But he got up and he withheld. He was a person of mercy. This happens even when things go wrong, that we can be a person of mercy. We can be a person of good fruit. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is also marked by good fruit. That when we go through life, the fruit, the reality of our life as we live with each other is love, and joy, and peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Those things come out of us. That's what good fruit is. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the reasons why I want us thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, meditating, thinking about that, so we have a good idea when it's coming out and when it's not. And when those fruit, that fruit is not coming out, we recognize it. We own it, we confess it, and we trust God to move through us again, the fruit of the Spirit. A wise person is good fruit. A wise person is impartial. Not hot one day, then cold the next. The wise person is not unwavering. It doesn't waver. Double negative always trips me up. A wise person doesn't waver. There's a wisdom. There's an impartiality. There's a willingness to look at both sides. Yes, you've heard one thing, but then a wise person says, "Well, maybe I need to hear the other side." A wise person is impartial. We're confronted with this all the time. Oftentimes we'll have conversations with people and we will hear one side of a conversation about somebody else and we will be tempted to rush to judgment and we will be tempted to make conclusions about that person's intention and their heart and their words based on one person's telling of the story. But a wise person says, no, I probably need to think about, there's probably another side to this. That's going to be important for me to understand. So a wise person is impartial. I was caught up very short on this in a mission trip years ago, long time ago. As often happens in mission trips, you live together for a period of time and in a culture that's not your own, tensions come up. And we experienced some tensions on a mission trip long, long, long time ago. Nothing Guatemala recent, long, long time ago. And we were in this situation and we handled something toward the end of the trip, and about 2 days after the trip, one of the people on the trip called me up and said, you know what? I needed a pastor in that room, and I didn't have one. And my first reaction deep in my being was, you're right. I was not impartial. I got sided with something. And I needed in that scenario to listen and to say, but wait a minute, maybe there's another take on this, and I didn't do it. And that loving phone call by that friend has impacted me. That's another aspect of wisdom, is that you and I are willing to let people speak into our lives. We don't get defensive. We try not to get defensive. We say, would you please speak to me? If I've not been wise, let me know that. We open the door for that. We don't make it hard for our friends to say, would you speak to me about if you see some things in my life that are not right? I'm so thankful that friend did that to me. I've never forgotten that. And I pray that God will always continue to work in me an ability to be impartial, to listen to both sides and to figure out what the truth might be in the midst of that. A wise person is also sincere. A wise person is not two-faced. The outside matches the inside. A wise person is a person of integrity. The word for sincerity, same word, two-faced. It's like the Greek actors had a face in front of them. But there was also something very different inside when they moved the mask away. That's being a hypocrite. A person of sincerity, the outside matches the inside. The inside matches the outside. There's a sense of this is true because the inside is what God's created, and that's what I want to know. Would somebody like an apple? It's washed. I washed it this morning. Somebody has to say yes because this is the very part. All right. Thank you, Bill. Go ahead and take a bite. Okay, show what's inside. Apple. Yep, there it is. Were any of us surprised? God creates. I have another one. Anybody like a banana? Bill, you've already got. Thank you, Jeff. Close. Go ahead, peel it, enjoy it, take a bite. At this point in time, you can have food in this space. Just hold it up for a second, Jeff. Yeah, see? None of us were surprised. God creates with integrity. The outside matches the inside. What we saw, we knew what was going to be on the inside. And that's what a wise person models and lives. what people see on the outside is true of what's on the inside. A wise person is sincere. A wise person is a peacemaker who sows seeds in peace, sows in peace and reaps a harvest of righteousness. Think about this. The impact on the life of let's take Everly since she was here. Think about the life of Everly and the seeds that are going to be sown in her through Brian and Tamara's care, through her family's care, through your love, through the teachings that she will come up through in Sunday school. Think about the seeds that are going to be sown in Everly of wisdom. And then think about and just dream about the harvest of righteousness, the harvest of right living that by God's grace will come through just that one life, through Everly's life, and what may happen after that. As we wrap this up, think about Jesus with this. Sometimes these scenarios are hard to fully figure out and define, and sometimes God gives us mentors, gives us people that have impacted us, and we've watched their lives, and we go, oh, that's what wisdom is. That's beyond the definition. I've seen that in a real life. And so think about these scenarios with Jesus, how Jesus modeled wisdom, how Jesus modeled purity, how he modeled promoting shalom. We talked about that a little bit. Even as he turned over tables, he promoted shalom. Think about Jesus being considerate. Listen to this in relation to the cross. Think about Jesus, able to submit to disgrace without malice. Remember when Jesus was on the cross and they were driving nails in his wrists and his feet, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Disgrace. Injustice of the highest degree. And yet he says, Father, forgive them. Jesus was willing to, he was gentle. He was submissive. Remember at the cross, just before the cross, not my will be done, but yours. He was willing to yield to his Father's will. Jesus was well persuaded. He was full of mercy. Father, forgive them. He is full of good fruit. He is impartial. He is sincere. When you saw Jesus, you knew what you were going to get. I was blessed to have a man named Jerry Schneider. I think we have a picture of him in my life. Jerry was my youth pastor. When I was coming up through high school, middle school and high school, Jerry was my youth pastor at Cherry Hill Baptist Church. Jerry wouldn't wow people with his personality. You wouldn't walk away going, wow, Jerry Schneider, he's impressive. But Jerry was pure. He was peace-loving. He was considerate. He was submissive. He was full of mercy. Jerry lived his entire life as a man who ministered the gospel within a church context and a vocation as an associate pastor. I was able to be at this celebration 38 years at 4C Bible Church up in Rockville area, Maryland. 38 years under two different lead pastors. He knew how to live well under the authorities that God had put into his life. And then he was also at Cherrydale under Cindy's grandfather, Ruth's dad, Pastor Jackson, for a number of years. Jerry was impartial. He was sincere. He was a peacemaker. I don't remember particular instances. I just remember the impact of this man's life and who he was, who he is. Who is it for you? The reason I bring up Jerry is there's a Jerry in your life, no question. There is somebody in your life that God has brought to you that personifies wisdom. You think about them and you think, there's something about their life I want to know about. And they've impacted you to a great degree. Maybe you've not really thought about them recently. Or maybe you've not taken a moment to just reflect on the impact of their life. Think about them. Who is that? How have they modeled wisdom for you? And how has your life been graced? How has your life been blessed by their life? The reason God gives us mentors in situations like this, it also brings definition. So we want to, and we know how to pass on wisdom to those around us, to our spouses, our kids, colleagues, our neighbors. So who is it? Who's a mentor in your life that has modeled wisdom? So how do we end? How do we close? I appreciate many of you often will come up and say, you know, good message. Good message. And I appreciate that. And I understand what you mean. But think for a second about what a good message really means. A good message has a beginning here, but a good message really, the effect of a good message really happens as you, we, I leave here. A good message is not just to be heard. A good message is to be acted on and obeyed because it's the Word of God and the authority of God speaking to us. So I encourage you, again, if you haven't already, commit to this. There's pages out there. Commit to beginning your day, if you don't already do so, in a way of some of these patterns. Listen, you're not just looking at me. I'm not just getting grins, so to speak. You're not just smiling and you have other intentions and you're just thinking, well, I'm just going to go and live my life, you know, how I typically do. I know you're not doing that. So commit. I encourage you to commit to these patterns. Try them on for size. If you're not doing it, if they work, great. If another way works, try that. Do that. But figure out a way to begin your mornings thinking about God, reminding yourself that you're filled with the Spirit of God, that you need to put on the armor every day, that you want love to just saturate your life. You want wisdom to saturate your life. And as Jeff's message was, you want to be committed to community, to friendships. You don't want to live in isolation. You're going to make choices to show up, to be faithful, to serve. Perry's message a couple weeks ago, you're going to be committed to being generous with your life, not just finances, but time and gifting. You want to be known as a generous person, not stingy, not a hoarder. You want to be known as a generous person. So Brian and Tamara, I sat this morning and just dreamed a little bit about Everly's kids. I thought about her growing up, thought about her becoming the young lady, the young woman, and if God would grant her children, I began to think about them. And I began to think about the impact that Everly will have on them because of your commitment today. And I began to think about your kids. And there's some challenging times. We have seasons in our lives with our kids, with our grandkids, with our spouses. But it's the Spirit of God that keeps us in that process and brings us hope, even at some of the most desperate times. He gives us hope to lift our head to Him, to walk in love, to give us hope. And I'm praying that that is a work and a ministry of the Spirit of God in you this morning, that you're committed to passing this on and you're not going to quit, even if things are very, very challenging, desperately difficult. You're not going to stop because it's the power of God, His Spirit enabling you to do that. So let's close with a word of prayer. And let's do it. We're going to have a song for just a few minutes to close us out after this prayer. Father, thank you for bringing every single person to this place today. Father, you know the number of hairs on every one of our heads. You know us by name. You know our middle names. You understand us completely. You know what's going on in our lives. You understand the good places. You understand the exceedingly difficult places right now. And Father, I'm convinced and thankful that you have spoken, that your Spirit has taken your word, the lyrics of the songs that we've sung, and you have ministered to the very specific places of our hearts that you need to. So, Father, would you please work in us this commitment, this desire, this willingness to trust you, to pass this on, to influence others, to have conversations, to encourage and to speak and to never give up, but to pass on to others, to impact others in our sphere of influence with how you have loved us and impacted us. Father, for the hearts that need encouragement, that are troubled, that are walking through desperate times, please, Father, encourage and strengthen them. Father, for the ones that are just thrilled with the way things are going in life today, Father, just add to their joy, multiply their joy. Thank you, Father, for the work of your Spirit and for impacting us. And we look forward to you continuing to do that and for calling us to that, even as a group of friends that are following hard after you. In Jesus' name. Amen.